All right, I'm going to call to order the Communication and Legislative Liaison Committee meeting on April 3rd at 12 noon here in Conference Room C2. Can I have a roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Tran.
Thank you.
Director Yeo. Director Sheldon. Director Mesqua.
Present.
Director Wygand.
Here.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Jung. Director Nguyen. Director Meeks. Director Bilodeau. You do have a quorum of three members present.
Okay, perfect. And if you see any, just let us know, or we might see them flash up there.
Yes.
I think there might be on this one items received too late to be agendized.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I heard a rumor that there might be last night, but okay, none. All right. Great. Yeah. Here is the time now for visitor participation. Is there anyone online or in the room, which I don't see any in the room, but maybe online? Is there anyone for visitor participation? Seeing no hands, that will get us into the consent calendar. Item number one, the minutes of the meeting we held on March 6th.
I'll make a motion.
All right. And I just needed to double check. I was here, so I'll second.
Hey, roll call. Director Mesqua?
Yes.
Director Wygand?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
That motion passes 3-0.
All right. Now is our matters for consideration. Number two, let's state legislative update.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jason Gonsalves. I will start off. Just, I guess, some political excitement in Sacramento. Former Assemblymember Bill Asaley, who was kind of a firebrand, very conservative, I would say he rattled Democratic leadership at every turn, was this week appointed by President Trump to head the Central Division of the U.S. Attorney's Office, an office he had previously worked in before coming to the legislature. So long and short of it, we will have another special election to fill former Assemblymember Bill Asaley's seat in Sacramento. So just when we thought the special elections, you know, with Senator Strickland and others were over, there's yet another one to be announced by Governor Newsom. Moving on, we had a series of meetings in Sacramento back on March 11th. President Bilodeau and the executive team came to Sacramento, met with your delegation, members of your delegation. I think all the meetings were very well received and positive, and the activities are noted, I know, in the staff report, but we did have kind of the action day on March 11th. Two bills I will cover. The first one, AB 810 by Assemblymember Jackie Irwin. This bill is an addition to last year's legislation, AB 1637, that required all cities and counties, or in the case of San Francisco, city and county, to use a .gov or .ca.gov or some .gov domain rather than a whatever .org or .com domain. It really stemmed from the author's office, and there was no support last year and quite a bit of opposition, although the bill was signed. It really stemmed from the author's office and the assembly members' belief that during COVID, you know, covidmask.gov became covidmaskgov.com, and it provides for folks to emulate government websites. If it's for bill collection, for a local agency, for your utility bill, she feels it enables the hacking or duplication of what looks to be a city website, and thereby they can collect fees for your water bill or what have you. Last year's legislation again was signed. It required cities and counties and cities and San Francisco to comply. This year's bill seeks to add special districts, water districts, and expand on the definition of local agency. The cost concerns was the opposition last year and will continue to be the opposition as the author tries to expand it under AB 810. There's language that does say that, you know, if the Commission on State Mandates feels it's an unfunded mandate, you can get reimbursement. I would suggest none of that will happen in any of our lifetimes. The Commission on State Mandates has been backed up longer than I've been lobbying. It's an unfunded mandate is what it will become. And despite what that commission may or may not do several generations from now. So the recommendation is opposed given the unfunded mandate, and it's in line with where local governments were last year. And I think will continue to be as this bill moves forward. I would note it's been referred to the Assembly Local Government Committee, and your very own Assembly Member Treetaw is the vice chair of that committee. Not to suggest it will fail in the first committee in the first house, but Republicans didn't support it last year. I don't suspect they will this year as well. So that's the first bill. The second bill, SB 599 by Assemblymember Ana Caballero, it is pending in the Senate Natural Resources and Wildlife Committee. Much more straightforward. It's looking to provide experimental tools and have direct the Department of Water Resources to utilize experimental tools when using FIRO and forecast reservoir operations. And it, I think, fits as noted in the staff report. It fits within the legislative platform and the efforts to further recognize and expand and build upon FIRO. So that legislation, again, is pending in Senate Natural Resources, and the recommendation is support. So with that, I'll stop there, and otherwise happy to turn it over to Jason. What are you, number four or five or six these days, for the other two bills?
Yeah, I think technically I was Jason 3 before, but who knows what I am these days, Jason.
Me neither. I think Datticus took one through three, so we're four and five.
Correct. All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Appreciate the chance to talk to you today, and going to try to be quick because these bills are fairly straightforward, and unless I'm very surprised today, I think your position's fairly obvious. But starting with SB 601 by Senator Allen. So this is really a bill to kind of attempt to expand the state's regulatory authorities over water quality in a massive way. And from the author's perspective, that is about being the state being a backstop in case the federal government stops regulating water quality. The problem is that his premise is fundamentally flawed. The state of California has existing water quality regulations, and in fact, they're more stringent than anywhere else in the United States. So you do not need a 40-page bill, which is what this is, to achieve his goal. It is something that is already happening in the background. But to get into the specifics of that 40-page bill, and I will absolutely not be exhaustive, it does create a private right of action against, a business or a local government over alleged permit violations. It eliminates the requirement that the state board, when adopting and issuing water quality permits, that they balance economic and environmental needs, and it imposes federal style standards and fees on permit holders and those responsible for any water quality violations. The bill has a long list of opposition, including the chamber, many different ag organizations. And then, in the water world, Aqua, CMUA, the Regional Water Authority, Met, Western, and others have all signed on in opposition. The bill was heard yesterday in the Senate Environmental Quality Committee. It was its first hearing. It passed 5-2 with one of the committee's Democrats, Senator Hurtado, abstaining. Your staff is recommending an opposed position, and you would certainly be in good company adopting it. And the second bill, SB 496 by Senator Hurtado. We have talked before with this committee about the state's Advanced Clean Fleet rule. This is the rule requiring that heavy-duty vehicles be that fleet owners purchase zero emission heavy-duty vehicles. And it presents unique problems across the board, but especially for utility fleets. The vehicles are very customized and often have duties that you simply can't use a battery for. So the regulation has presented a lot of problems over time. SB 496 is sponsored by the Special District Association, and the intent is to essentially, make it clear that utility, vehicles should get some separate treatment essentially under this because of the unique role that they fill in combating wildfire and emergency response and keeping essential services operating. So the bill would, in its current form, it includes an emergency vehicle exemption and would make it easier for utility vehicles to be considered emergency vehicles. It modifies some of the exemptions that are already in the regulation to make them easier to use for utility vehicles, and it establishes an appeals process independent of the, with an independent advisory committee that reviews rejected appeals when CARB does not grant an exemption. So the bill had a hearing yesterday in the Senate Environmental Quality Committee. It was significantly amended there. That emergency vehicle exemption is going to be a little bit more limited, and some of the changes to CARB's existing exemptions are going to be struck from the bill, but it will retain that appeals committee process. And again, this is another bill that has broad-based support from water agencies and utilities generally, and special districts. And so your staff is recommending a position on the bill. And so happy to pause and answer any questions on those two bills as well.
Great, thank you. And Directors Yeo and Bilodeau have joined us, so we have five members of the committee voting enabled on this item and future items as well. Does any director have any questions, seeing we have four online? Okay. And then can I mention?
Quick question, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
Has Mr. Paul Cook arrived from IRWD? Is he present at the meeting?
See him.
No, I see two members of the staff, but also that bill, maybe that might be why they're of interest here. Assembly Bill 514 isn't being discussed at this meeting.
Okay, perfect. Because he had contacted me and said that it appeared in a memo, and he was a little confused because it wasn't out in the actual agenda. So I think he was going to come and ask that we don't take any action based on that. But it sounds like we're not going to, right?
Yeah, it was potentially up for an item not on the agenda to be discussed, but that was told at the start that we wouldn't be doing talking about
Okay, I'm
tonight.
sorry, and I logged in a minute late. Okay,
No,
no problem.
you're good.
No
It
problem
wasn't
at all.
clear on that specific bill, so yeah, no, we
Okay,
won't be
perfect.
discussing it.
Okay, perfect. I have no other questions. Thank you.
Perfect. Seeing no other hands, do we need to call for a vote on that, or is there anything else
On all the
from
bills?
staff?
On all the bill positions, the full
Yeah.
bill? Yeah.
Or anything from staff?
Any additions?
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion for those
Make a
positions?
motion. I make a
Okay.
motion.
Second.
Director Green. Okay. We'll call for the vote.
Roll call. Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Wygant?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
And motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. We'll move on to item number three, federal legislative update. And Eric, I see him on, so go for it.
Yeah, good morning. And if you can't hear me, let me know. I'm talking from my phone. As I mentioned earlier, my computer does not want to do video, today at least. So I just have a very brief update, and I'm happy to answer any questions on anything else I didn't touch on. You have one bill, I believe, Alicia, right, pending before you, and that's H.R. 29 or 2093, excuse me. This is a reintroduction of last year's Bill 7944 to provide liability protection for the water sector when it comes to PFAS, based on the designation of PFAS as a hazardous substance under the Superfund or CERCLA law that the district has supported in the past. Like I said, the bill is a reintroduction. It's a straightforward, explicit exemption from Superfund liability, which would address both the management of PFAS in your system as well as the disposal of residuals that come from your system because of treatment of the water supply. It would also address the wastewater side of call it the water sector, by specifically dealing with effluent discharges as well as biosolids. Provided there are no violations of the Clean Water Act and carrying out the duties under the wastewater program. So that's the bill that's pending before you. I would also mention that we participated in a meeting with the Chamber of Commerce yesterday, looking at PFAS technology destruction as well as treatment opportunities. It really was an opportunity for stakeholders to both from the public side and the private sector side to explore what is out there and what may be coming down the pike to deal with treatment on-site as opposed to moving, for example, residuals off-site for ultimate disposal in order to limit exposure from the transportation of PFAS-contaminated residuals. The reason this meeting was relatively valuable was at one point, Assistant Administrator for the Office of Water nominee, Jess Kramer, came in and spoke and basically gave, she didn't talk about liability, but she gave a good summary of what her priorities are for going forward with the Office of Drinking Water, specifically, and groundwater issues. And that really can be summed up this way. She wants to have greater transparency and working with the water sector stakeholders to ensure that the rules that they establish and publish have both validated science and credible input from the affected communities. And the second thing she said was that she wants to be certain that when they develop a rule within the agency, that they take into account the impacts of other laws and other program offices of the agency, so they don't, for example, create a standard in the Office of Water that then conflicts with a standard in the Superfund office, which is really a good thing. And so we are encouraged that when Jess is formally confirmed by the Senate in the next couple of weeks, that we'll have an administrator who actually wants to have communication with the affected communities, and more important, make certain that the science is used is quite frankly the most up-to-date credible science. And then the only other thing I would say is on the issue of the drinking water standard of 4 parts per trillion that's currently being litigated by the Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies as well as the American Water Works Association in federal court over the economics that EPA relied upon. Jess Kramer did say that they are looking at that litigation and they are looking at the science and the underlying economics that led to the 4 parts per trillion. And while she can't say too much because she still is not the confirmed nominee, you got a sense that, you know, the agency is going to be looking at what its options are relative to the ongoing litigation and whether there's anything they can do administratively to address some of the water sector's concerns. So, Chair, that's where we are right now. I'll answer any questions that I may not have issues that I may not have touched on.
Great. Thank you, Eric. I don't have any. I do see Director Jones has arrived. So looking at the list of committee members, that would bump Dennis out, and Director Jung would be a voting member at this point moving forward. Are there any directors with any federal questions for this item? Seeing none, anyone in the public? Okay. All right. I'll call for a vote on that, that specific bill.
Move to support.
I'll second.
Okay, I'll call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Wiegand?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Jung? Director Bilodeau?
Scared them all away now. My bad.
I vote yes.
Okay, that motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. On to item number 4, which is our first responder training and tour.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a favor? Sorry,
we can
speak for a public statement. Running an earlier item.
It was already heard our state legislative update. But seeing that you that drove over, I'll defer.
I drew a little sweat. I just want to, going back to the item on the state ledge. I'm Paul Cook, Urban Ranch Water District General Manager. And I noticed about 10 minutes before the meeting started, after checking the agenda yesterday and the day before yesterday, that AB 514 was not going to be discussed. And in fact, it appeared 514 was going to be discussed. That's a bill that RWD is sponsoring and working closely with a lot of other agencies, including MODOC next door. Just yesterday, I was shocked to see that it was posted on this agenda without any notice, not properly noticed as far as, and I understand you pulled it, so thank you for that. But I'll just say for the record, I look forward to continuing to work with your staff and legal counsel, making sure that I hopefully at some point maybe hopefully we'll get you to a support position, because we feel very strongly about this and see a real opportunity here to partner with our two agencies. But I'll leave it at that since you did pull the item. But please, if you could be a little more watchful on watching the requirements of the Brown Act in terms of noticing, so I don't have to get in my car and break a couple of rules on the freeway to get up here in time to barely miss the item. So thank you for your indulgence. I really apologize.
So just
for
being just here. Prior to, I had announced if we had items received too late to be agendized, and I think that is where it might have been put on the agenda, but we actually didn't. It never made it.
Fine,
so, and then as far as the posting, it was never an item that was posted. And then it was on, we do have a rule that allows for items received too late, but it was decided that we weren't going to do it due to the concerns likely that you
neither one of us are your attorney. So I'll work it out with him later if I needed to, but I would just, again, look for the opportunity to continue working with your staff so we can have a debate. And I, you know, frankly, when it is discussed in front of this committee, I'd love to be here. My staff would love to be here as well. And
I think that's likely why we didn't move forward with it, too, because it wouldn't have been fair to that specific reason. So I think we will discuss it at a later date. If we do, it would likely be at our next meeting, and it would be posted correctly.
Great. With that, may I stay for the rest of the meeting?
Absolutely. I'm sure we have food because there's director's meat, and that will be it. But I definitely consume a lot of food, so I'll
count. Thank you very much.
Okay. Item number 5 for the first responders training and tour.
Yeah, thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Good afternoon. So at the February 19th Board of Directors meeting, this item was kicked back to the Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee. So we're bringing it back to you today, and staff was asked to research alternatives with the goal being to express the district's appreciation of first responders and also to familiarize them with district facilities and staff. So we bring this forward. We don't have any recommended action, just take action as appropriate and provide staff direction. So on the next slide, we have 3 alternatives that we listed. One is just sending a letter, inviting first responders to, sending a letter to actually thank them for their service and no cost to that. And the letter could be signed by the board president or the full board, whatever the committee instructs us to do. The second one is inviting folks to a training, and we have not yet identified that training, so we would work with the Risk and Safety Department. Perhaps an example would be to conduct a confined space drill with the fire department, offer an optional tour, and then provide a box lunch. At this time, it's difficult to estimate the exact cost because we don't know how many individuals from the fire department or police department would be there. And then our third option would be a scaled back luncheon and tour. So that was presented to the board and discussed at the February 19th meeting. And here, as a scaled back option, we offer it as not including, all staff. So it would be the board, and it would be risk and safety and some members of the executive staff, but not a full employee luncheon. And then we took off the rentals, which were about $2,000. So we wouldn't need rentals unless there was inclement weather. So it would still be drop-in style. It would still be inviting, the emergency response folks in the area, and we would offer them a tour. And then we would have lunch. So staff took the opportunity to provide some different lunch options. We could do, the barbecue one, which is we're estimating 100 attendees. Again, we don't know what the total number of confirmed participants would be, so just an estimation. But this provides an idea of what the cost would look like. So if we did barbecue, $2,700, box lunches at $20 a person, $2,000, and then tacos at $1,600. So these prices do not include the tax, tip, and fees, but hopefully it provides a good idea of what the event could look like and what the associated costs would be. So with that, I will stop, Chair, and really we defer to the committee to hear your input and guidance.
Okay, great. I will open up to directors. Let me just ask one question, though, on the kind of the in-between on the number 2 and 3. So the box lunch would be the same for both 2 and 3, but you're just estimating 100 people attending versus an on-site training and tour, which might have a lot less people. How many would you say would be in attendance for that middle one? Would it still kind of come close to attendees of 100, or would it be just kind of, we don't know, it's based on just people, you know, having interest on our letter that we would send out asking an invitation to certain staff?
Yeah, good question. So you're right, 2 and 3, it's the same box lunch, $20 per box. For the second one, we don't know, but I mean, we anticipate definitely would be less than 100. Maybe it's 20. I'm just not quite sure, because I think it also depends, you know, which cities, if it's just Fountain Valley or if we're also reaching out to Costa Mesa and Huntington Beach.
Right. And then how much can our boardroom satisfy as far as attendees? What's capacity in there?
Yeah, you know, we've used it kind of for our groundwater adventure tour and had almost 150, although it was very, very tight. But for the recent Assembly Member Ta event, I think we set it for about 100. So 150 is fine.
All right. I don't see the screen that shows attendees here of our meeting, but I don't. I'll wait. She's going to adjust that. See hands up.
Chair, I have a comment, yes.
Yes, Director Mesqua.
Thank you. Can you put that screen back up, please? Let's go to the options, please. Thank you so very much. So I am in support of just want to share my thoughts. I'm in support of the on-site training and tour, and I really appreciate staff including the training, because it's so critical, as everybody knows on this Zoom call, that they're familiar with the water district, all of our different buildings, how they get in, how they get out. And part of the training, as we all know, those that are familiar with fire, they train regularly. You know, they were in our city yesterday down on 4th Street, you know, climbing buildings, and people thought, oh, something's happening. It's like, nope, they're doing training. This is what they do. So I think it would be great to bring them in, give them a tour, but also include the training. And I think that that is very critical. And $20 per box lunch, we can keep it down to the tacos or the box sandwiches, because it's low cost for either one of them. But I would be in support of that, really, because of the training. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for bringing up the boardroom capacity, because if it fits 100 people comfortably, I think that's enough, so we don't need to rent tables, chairs, or be outside at all. So that is my, and I would make a motion for the on-site training and tour.
And I would second that. And I also have a comment, but I have no place to raise my hand. I don't know what's going on, but I don't. I like this idea. I think it's very, very important that first responders see our campus. We had another incident where first responders came out, I think it was last week. And I think that they should know what chemicals we have and use and why. I think it's very important that they can see the layout, know exactly where to come. During the day where we have a lot of staff here, we can get staff out there to help direct. But if that happened at night, that would probably stress the number of employees who would be able to, they're probably answering to the emergency, and they may not be able to direct first responders to where they are going. And back in the GWRS treatment, it's hard to get in there and to know where you're going. So I think it's a terrific idea. Do police have any kind of training that they need that we could provide? I know the training we're talking about right now is really for fire, isn't it?
I think that, in working with risk and safety and HR, we could, and also with the first responders asking what their needs are, we could identify if there is something with police and fire. I know next door, OC San, I think like the SWAT team recently was going to train on their campus, but really they look more for buildings that are vacant and all of that. But I think, in concert with risk and safety, we can kind of identify the needs and opportunities and then work from there.
Terrific. I just think that would be really a great idea if there's also some kind of training we could give not only fire but police too.
Okay, great. Just for Director Amezcua and Director Green, is this a staff directive just for the city of Fountain Valley, or is there are we looking, are there mutual aid
I would
cities that provide OCWD service should Fountain Valley not be able, or do we have some type of mutual aid agreement, or does
prefer Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa, and Fountain Valley because they're the ones that tend to come in an emergency.
maybe sheriffs as well, just because they also provide, I know they provide an officer for OCW or OC San meetings, the sheriff's in there. I don't know what their reason for that is, but they do provide that service. But it might be worth just reaching out to the sheriff's emergency operations center or director, and just to see, what would there be a response on
I
that.
don't know. I don't know that. I just know the three
Check. Yeah,
cities.
and only other one I would maybe offer up is CHP, just because the 405 is literally right next to us. So they have a regional, I think, command in Santa Ana. So maybe just their regional officer, just to let them know that might be at least an option there. Because if we got mutual aid assistance, it's who's closest, who's nearest. CHP, sheriff, and as Director Green said, Costa Mesa, Huntington, Fountain Valley, those kind of really border us. So I think that that's a fair number. Any other directors have any other questions or
Director Mesqua.
Director Mesqua, yes.
So, thank you for that. So the agency that you listed, that's great. But I think that if we want to keep it to a reasonable cost, that we invite fire definitely. And I think the local police departments, in my opinion, would be enough. If they call for mutual aid, of course, we all know that they come from everywhere, right? So there would be a lot of people. We would probably go back to hitting that $10,000 or at least $6,000 mark for a lunch when that's not what we're looking to do. So I would be in support of, as Kathy had indicated, the closest ones, which is Fountain Valley, Costa Mesa, Huntington Beach, fire, and then the local PD, because the training is what's important. And if they do call for mutual aid, once they get on site, hopefully they already all know as well. I mean, I'm assuming, right? I don't want to assume. But Kathy, you had mentioned, I'm sorry, Director Green, you had mentioned that there was a call out last week. Can somebody share what that call out was, please, before I continue with my comments?
I think there was a chemical spill.
And what agencies responded? Do we know?
I don't believe any responded. I'll have to find out. I was under the understanding that we drove our people to the hospital. I'll have to double check on that.
Okay.
That's a that thank thank you. And that's a conversation for a different time about, especially about driving our people. If it's that's a different that's, I'll call you, John. We'll have a conversation about
Okay,
that.
okay.
I have some concerns about that. And then at OC San, SWAT has had training there in the building, like active shooter training. Does anybody know that?
Yes, they shared with me that that SWAT, they had some building because since they moved headquarters, they did have more space and empty buildings. So the SWAT has had a training there. And even on our campus, I think when we were maybe, John, it was the lab or something like that we were demoing, they did utilize one of the buildings that were empty for that as well.
And Gina, what agency was that?
That was the SWAT team.
I understand that from what law enforcement agency was that? Was that Costa Mesa, sheriffs?
No, but I could certainly, we could look into that for you directly.
No, that's okay. I just want to know. I mean, so again, I'm supportive of the on-site training and tour with the local agencies, which would be Fountain Valley, Costa Mesa, Huntington Beach. That way we don't spend as much money, but the training is a critical component of this. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, showing our appreciation. And I would use the box sandwiches, or box tacos, however you can do that. That I see the cost there is roughly around $1,600 or roughly around $2,000. So I would be in support of that. And that's what my motion was.
And I don't think it would hurt for us to send a thank you letter to them too.
I think it could be probably tailored in the invitation.
Yeah, that's
to them saying we're very appreciative of your service.
Yes.
and with that we'd like to invite you to tour and receive a training about our facilities and what
that's
we offer
perfect.
Here and what
precisely
what we'd
precisely.
Like to work with you on.
That's
okay,
perfect.
Any other directors with any comments on this? Hearing none, I will call for a motion on this.
You have a motion.
Sorry, and I have a second, I take it?
Yeah. I second it.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Okay, I'll call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mesqua?
Yes.
Director Wiegand?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Jung? Director Bilodeau?
I'll abstain on this one. I do support our police and fire. I know that Huntington Beach has responded to our campus once, and I am kind of concerned about the cost of including the city because I'm sure they have a large department. So I'll just abstain at this point. Thank you.
Let me ask for just clarification to the makers of the motion. Is there a way we can send something to the chief of each of those agencies and say, maybe limit the, not every fireman is on at all times or police officer on at all times. So maybe, some type of high level staff to have them come, which, maybe three to seven members of, an entire city's representation coming, risk management's usually in the city manager's office, police and fire, they've got command staff or the chief, they can disseminate that information to the rank and file where, I really don't think we have to have an event that, maybe even has 100 at that level. But if we're inviting everyone, we certainly are going to exceed 100. I mean, in Newport Beach alone, I think like 100 and something are in our police department, and then another 70 are in our fire. So if we're inviting all of them, one, we're not going to get them all, but two, do we need them all anyway when there's people that can hand that information down? We can't essentially send a letter to every staff person anyway. We're going to write one letter to likely each department and say, thank you for your service, and we'd like to invite you to this. I don't really see our headcount being an extreme amount with the number of agencies we've thrown in there. So just something to throw out there before we finalize that vote.
I'm really confused by what you just said. I think just send a letter. I don't think that many officers can come, but those that can and those that need the training can certainly respond. And I don't want to tell them how many can come or cannot come. I mean, leave it open. I don't think the problem will be too many people. And this is just a first time thing. So I'm assuming that there probably won't be overwhelming numbers.
Sure.
Director Amesqua, what do you
think? Yeah, I have my hands up. So my hand up to speak here. So.
Sorry. Yeah, go for it.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to take it down. So maybe it went down. I don't know.
So we in our letter.
So that's actually a great recommendation. So the fire department, we can send it to them. They will, you know, ask them who they want to send from their training division to come out. So that way they don't send, you know, every fireman that's on duty. Or if they come, they can, you know, pick up a box and take two or three with them back. I'm fine with that. And then as far as the police departments, I don't, you know, can't see every police officer stopping by. No possible way. But I think it's a great idea to say, when you send the letter to the chief and the city managers, to say, you know, please share with your training deputy chief or your chief for training and the training staff, so that they can join us, and please let us know how many would be coming, because I think that's important. I agree with you. I don't want to leave it open to everybody, because then we do end up spending more money than we wanted to. But I do want it, of course, we all want it to be a very welcoming space. But I'm going to go back on the training issue. If this is truly about training and the tour, then you're exactly right. We send a letter. We say, thank you. We're offering training for, you know, X amount of time and a tour. Please join us and please share with us how many will be coming, if any. That way we can control the cost, the number of people, and then it doesn't turn into this free for all day. I think it's better if we control it. For me, the important part is, yes, showing appreciation, but training. Training is critical. So I do like that recommendation to send the letter to all the agencies, pretty much say thank you. And then the ones that we mentioned, Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa, Fountain Valley, thank you. If you'd like to come out, please let us know if you can. Send your training staff and the number that will be joining us. I think that's a great way to go.
Perfect. Our general manager is nodding that sounds like a good plan and something he, I think, was about to chime in and say. So I think that motion and all the votes is all.
Dr. Bilodeau has his hand up.
Yeah,
thank you. I agree with Mayor Mescua. I think the training here is the key and what we need to focus on. Certainly for the Fountain Valley Fire Department, as they'd be the first in. And if we want to extend that training opportunity to other agencies, that's fine. I mean, we have a unique campus that may provide a unique training opportunity that they otherwise may not have. As far as the police departments, I don't believe the Huntington Beach or Costa Mesa police departments respond to our campus if there's an incident that I'm aware of. I'm not aware they've ever responded, although I greatly appreciate our police officers, but I just don't know if that aspect of it is that might get out of control. And I'm not sure that will comport with what we're trying to achieve here. Thanks.
Okay. Do the makers of the motion wish to have Director Bilodeau's request so that we could get a unanimous vote out of this, or
Let me ask a question. John, has Fountain Valley is the only one that responds? As Huntington Beach or Costa Mesa, they've never responded to the site?
I'm not sure, Director Mescua. I'd have to go find out if only Fountain Valley PD been here.
Do we know how many times our police departments have come? Our police department has come to our site?
Oh.
Her name.
Yeah, last night. you know, I'd guess half a dozen times in the last 15 or so years. Primarily to when we knew we were going to have a big crowd for some controversial issue at the board, we would ask them to come, and it helps maintain the crowd, keeps the crowd calm to see a police officer.
Okay. You said last night, was that, I'm not there in person, so was that a joke, or they were there last night?
No, we had someone here last night. We were being extremely cautious. We had somebody say they might come in who was just some staff.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I mean, So I'll definitely amend the motion to say the training is critical again. So the we can amend it to say, you know, the local police department, but our fire departments definitely. And then it's for training and a tour. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to stick with the original motion, and that's what the original motion was.
Okay, so the maker of the motion amended. Do you wish to call for an alternate motion, Director Green, due to the fact that you had seconded originally, but that's that motion has changed?
How has it changed? I thought Director, it was still for the training. It was still for the
yeah, it eliminates the police departments of Huntington Beach and Costa Mesa, keeps the Fountain Valley Police Department, and then fire of Huntington, fire of Costa Mesa, fire of Fountain Valley, and obviously risk management, I would assume, for Fountain Valley only.
Director Mesquite, is
I'm good with that. Yeah, I'm going to change it only because now it's a training issue, Director Green. It's going to be a training issue. I really want them to focus on, hopefully they're going to just focus on training.
And the training would be for the police for local, for Fountain Valley, but seeing that there's no police that is needed for Huntington Beach or Costa Mesa for our campus, that would be too many for this scope. Fire, yes, because mutual aid, proximity, but police... Fountain Valley is that only responder. So is that correct, Director Mezwa? Is that is
yeah,
that
initially what? When we talked about this and the $10,000, it was to thank, you know, all and, you know, everybody who comes out to help us, right? And I understand there's mutual aid, many of them would come. But this one, we've brought it down to a training. That's our focus. And then the tour. So, because it says offer optional tour, I think it should be training and a tour. I don't know that a tour should be optional. And I don't mean a very lengthy tour, because you're talking about, you know, law enforcement and fire. They don't need the tour that we give to our community. They need to know the entrances, the exits, the say, you know, I don't need to tell you. You guys know how to do that. So that's really what I'm focused on.
Well, they also need to know the chemicals we use and where things are.
Well, I'm assuming that's part of it. I mean,
they know that they annually inspect the exact where chemicals are.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Director Miller is cutting in and out, but I assume what he's saying is that it's an annual discussion that both police and fire of Fountain Valley are provided with all of our chemicals, all of our ins and outs, everything on the site as is. But I can't hear Director Bilodeau anymore. So
I'm sorry. Hopefully it's better now. Yeah, it's as you stated, Mr. Chairman. We hold a permit from the city of Fountain Valley. They annually inspect our campus, and they know exactly where all the chemicals are. That I can assure you.
So let me just ask the question then, Director Bilodeau. So who is they? So when you say they know, are you talking about the risk management? Hold on, please. Are you talking about the training officers from Fountain Valley Police Department? They've come and taken a tour, or do they just get a letter, John, indicating that these are the chemicals that are used? So we're digging deeper into something that, in my opinion, Mr. Chair, we don't need to go that deep. It's just, here's a tour. We're going to do some training, $20 for box lunch, and including Fountain Valley Police Department, and then fire from the agencies we agreed. That was the motion. And so hopefully Dr. Green will still second. And we've removed the police departments from Huntington Beach and Costa Mesa.
Director Green, is that amicable to you?
It is for the first time, but I really would like to expand it. Hopefully, if this is successful in succeeding years.
Great. Point taken. Staff has noticed that. And then
Director Yeo has his hand up. Sorry.
Yes, before we call for that vote, I'll defer to Director Yeo with his hand raised.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also supportive of our emergency response folks, you know, police and fire. And we're located in the city of Fountain Valley. And I agree with Director Bilodeau that the individuals who are responsible for any emergency that, you know, they will respond to things that happen on our campus, they know and they ought to know that the type of chemicals that we store in our facility and where they are. And in the event that unlikely event that something bad happened, and we need to call on, or the city of Fountain Valley needs to call on the neighboring emergency teams to help out, I would imagine that the city of Fountain Valley will still be in command, in charge of the situation, and then be able to provide direction to the supporting teams from nearby city. So I'm supportive of, you know, focusing on training for the folks in Fountain Valley, police and fire. And we need to be careful with how we craft our invitation, because it's subject to interpretation. I really don't want to, you know, it turned out to be hundreds of people showing up. I just see that there is a potential of that happening. And we... We don't want our good intention to turn into something that's leave a bad taste in people's mouth. Like, you invited me over and then, you know, you didn't feed me as you promised. I just think that we ought to be careful with how we craft that message. But again, I'm in support of sending out appreciation letters and an invitation that clearly states the invitee and the number of people that we were accommodating. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Director. What I might suggest too is staff will draft that letter and then include that in our item that we would officially vote on, which would be a consent calendar item, but have, you know, if for some reason we have issue with it, we can pull it off the consent calendar and retailer that letter. But in there, I think it would be good for us to see before we voted at our board meeting, that letter, to make sure that everyone, you know, can see it. And if they want to pull it from the consent, then they can pull it from the consent.
That's perfect.
When I came up with this idea, I did it based on the fact that there was a fire in the lab and it was Costa Mesa, Huntington Beach, and Fountain Valley who responded. I didn't just come up with these out of a clear blue sky. Those were the departments that responded. That's why I was talking about them. I honestly do not think that many people will come. You just don't see that happen. And so I would suspect that if you sent that letter in, the most you would probably have would be maybe 10% of a department, if that. And not everybody is going to need that training. They may need it down the line, but they're not all going to need that training right now. So I don't know. I don't see any problem with sending the invitation out to the departments who do respond.
And when we send a letter, we will ask them, as Director Admezcua had said, we'll ask them how many people they think would or could send, so that we could manage the whole thing and not get overwhelmed.
I just want to state again, on-site training and tour, and then I want to amend and add that it not exceed $2,000 for the food.
Sounds good. Director Green, are you amicable with those?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I don't care about the food as much, but that's fine.
Okay. Seeing I have a motion and a second, I will recall the vote and restart that process over. Roll call or vote, please.
Roll call, Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Wiegand?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Green?
Yes. Aye. Jung, aye. Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, thank you. That motion carries 5-0.
All right. Thank you all for your patience, deliberation, and unanimous support for that. We'll see the letter coming up in the next board meeting, or the board meeting that will discuss this. Okay. Item, we're out of the voting items, now into informational items. Item 5 is the Children's Water Education Festival update.
Yes, I will very briefly just provide this update to the committee in the interest of time. The Children's Water Education Festival is coming up this month on April 23rd and 4th. At Oak Canyon Park in Silverado, it is OCWD's largest event for third, fourth, and fifth grade students. We have over 6,000 students registered to attend. You will notice if you're looking in your packet, the numbers may be slightly different just since this presentation was created this week versus when the packet went out. But we do have over 1,000 students more than last year. So the festival continues to grow and be popular. It's a mix of public, private, and homeschools, with all director service areas being represented. Just a quick snapshot of the public school districts in attendance, along with the private and homeschools attending. We have approximately 200 volunteers registered to assist, and we just got word that there's 2 additional presenters confirmed. So now we are up to 60 total presenters, with the majority returning from last year. But we do have, I guess now with the extra 2, it'll be 10 new presenters this year, and 8 presentations by OCWD departments, including our barrier, engineering, hydrogeology, the laboratory, natural resources, recharge operations, research and development, and water quality. Over $100,000 has been raised in sponsorship, which is quite a large increase from last year. Our goal was $70,000, and we have surpassed that. And even just the difference from last year, we were around $40,000 last month. So we have really upped our numbers. And we have, Danny has done a wonderful job reaching out to sponsors, as well as Director Wigan was instrumental in getting the city of Newport Beach to sponsor and assist the students coming with their transportation. And our staff has been instrumental as well. We have a lot of OCWD vendors that we were able to reach out to. We do have a lot of projects happening right now, and these vendors have been very generous to support the festival. So we don't know if they'll necessarily be back next year, but this year we are so happy to have them. And then we have quite an assortment of cities as well, along with 2 Orange County supervisors, Chairman Wagner, where the festival will be in his district, as well as Supervisor Sarmiento, who is very familiar with the festival. And just with those highlighted sponsors, you can kind of see who is returning from 2024. So you'll notice we have quite a bit of new sponsors this year.
I would just modify the Wagner is just a supervisor now. He came off as chair.
Oh,
so just
you.
So when you send him a thank you, you'll just
thank you for
regular
that.
Just
thank you. So next steps, we are busy sending confirmation materials to teachers, presenters, and volunteers, finalizing items for the day of. In the coming weeks, we will be sending out information to all of our directors with information if they would like to attend the festival and meet with some of the students in their service areas. So please look out for that information, or feel free to reach out with any additional questions. But with that, that concludes my presentation. Sorry I spoke so fast. Be able to answer any questions.
Okay. Any directors with any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
And what is the cost for this?
Our budget is $265,000, but the sponsorship helps offset that.
And how much is it offset?
$103,000 currently, Director Mesko. But our goal is typically $70,000, but we successfully raised more, so it was offset by $103,000.
So OCWD is only going to pay exactly how much?
Oh, let's see. I'm not good at math.
I know. Let me take out my.
Let me see.
265,000. I'm rounding the sponsorship to 103. Oh, wait, no, that's not division. I want to minus it.
Be like 162,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Oh, John's laughing. That's easier.
At the communication.
And then if we divide that by 6,100 students. It's just over $26 per student.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know. John, I think we need to have a math class.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, any other directors or questions? All right. I'll just say I'll be out there because my fourth graders are going to be there with their class. So I'm excited to come out and see them and watch you guys in action. So good stuff. Okay, on to next item, number 6, Public Affairs Outreach Report.
In the interest of time, the information is in the packet. I did just want to mention that coming up on May 22nd at 10 a.m., we will be co-hosting with the City of Tustin a dedication ceremony for their PFAS treatment plant. So more information on that will be forthcoming.
Nice. Any questions for anyone with the items in the packet? Okay, seeing none, all these items that we discussed will be at our consent calendar for the April 16th meeting. Director's announcements or reports? Seeing no hands raised. General manager's announcement report?
Nothing to report.
Okay. All right. We're adjourned. Thank you all for your patience today.
Thank you.